Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Can anyone doubt that America is in trouble? The sneaker riot, which was caught on video, is deplorable, but looting of malls, robbing of shoppers, forced entry into stores, and trampling of shoppers are disturbing to watch. There were reports of babies out in the cold for hours in Houston. In Indianapolis, 24 police officers used pepper spray to control an unruly crowd that pried shopping center doors off their hinges. And this was all for what? For Jordan 11 Concord sneakers made by Nike. How did America get here? Young adults imitate what they see, and what they see is bad behavior being glorified on reality television, in movies, in music videos, in video games, and on the internet. These mediums are rife with demeaning language and behavior, violence, and examples of blatant disrespect towards others. Yet some of the rawest and craziest acts on video are not derided for their rawness and for their craziness, but they're lauded for how many thumbs up they get on YouTube. Is there any doubt that America needs a character health checkup? My guest today is Dr. Steve Scheibner. He was born in Michigan in 1972. There's a connection here between Steve and Pennsylvania because he and his mom moved to Chatsworth, Pennsylvania. And he graduated from Unionville High School in 78, earned his B.S. in economics from Westchester University in 82, and joined the Navy, was commissioned and trained as a pilot in 83 and 84, married his college sweetheart Megan, who grew up in York, P.A. in July of 84. During their marriage, they've got 8 kids and 15 moves, and I'll never again complain to my husband about how many times we've moved. Steve was deployed 3 times in 4 years flying the P-3 Orion. Steve left active duty in 91 and was hired by American Airlines the same year. Thanks, Steve, for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Diane. How are you today?
I'm doing well, and I found the connection kind of neat between you and your wife and Pennsylvania. So that was...
Well, Pennsylvania is where we call home, for sure. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Absolutely. You guys are in Maine now, right?
We live in Maine, and I was stationed there with the Navy back in the mid-80s, and then we ended up moving back about a dozen years ago to start a church up there, and now, you know, Maine is where we live. Pennsylvania is where I call home.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad you haven't disowned us.
But,
yeah, as I mentioned, you were hired by American Airlines in 91, but a friend of mine sent me the link to a YouTube video, and that's how I first heard of you and your ministry. But the YouTube video that my friend sent me the link to was of it was a pilot story of September 10th and September 11th, 2001. Just tell us who you are and your relationship to those dates and what happened.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. The name of the film, it's a 15-minute documentary, and the title is In My Seat, a pilot story from September 10th to 11th. And essentially, it's my story of my interaction. I was very close to the events of September 11th. I work for American Airlines. I'm a first officer or a co-pilot, you would think of me in that regard. I fly the Boeing 757 and 767 airplanes, which were the airplanes of choice on September 11th. And I'm based in Boston's Logan Airport. So the very first airplane, American Airlines Flight 11, was hijacked out of Logan. And the documentary is kind of, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Mm-hmm. I was originally scheduled to be the co-pilot on that flight, and I was bumped off by a senior pilot the night before.
Oh, that just really struck me. Like you said, the rest of the story. And
right.
You conclude that video with an urgency that you feel the Lord has placed an even greater urgency on you and your ministry. And tell us how your ministry has expanded since then, since 9/11.
Well, the film, which came out on the 10th anniversary, has really been terrific for us because I think it's 1.6 million mm-hmm. people have watched it on YouTube. And so now there's a lot of interest in me coming in, accompanying the film and telling my story. But in addition to that, the ministry which we started is called Character Health. And you can find us at characterhealth.com on the web. We do 3 primary things. My wife and I teach parenting, marriage, and youth character development seminars and conferences. And in the parenting stuff that we do, it's called the 9 Practices of the Proactive Parent. She and I wrote that a number of years ago, probably going back to the mid-90s. Our family was growing. We were doing some stuff, you know, we were raising our kids, and some people were asking us, hey, what are you doing? Because your kids seem really well-behaved.
Mm-hmm.
And that Genesis became a more formal thing where we sat down with other couples, and then we began to teach it in church, and then we went on the road with it, finally put it on DVD, and now we come in and do conferences, and we offer a 10-week DVD series for small groups called The 9 Practices of the Proactive Parent, and it's been really, really well received. Since September 11th, 2001, when my story kind of, you know, hit the national scene, we've been getting more and more invites to come and speak, to the point that a year and a half ago, I was still pastoring a church up in Maine. I stepped down from that, retired from that ministry to start CharacterHealth.com and to do that full-time. And so between flying airplanes for Americans still and traveling around speaking and doing parenting and marriage conferences, our plate's pretty full.
Yeah, I would say so. Because there's a definite need, and as you've traveled around the country, do you think that other people, even non-Christians, see that there's something wrong with what's going on in the U.S. as far as,
absolutely. The course that I teach, the 9 practices, came out of a core values and ethics course that I was asked to write for the Navy. And this course was called the 8 practices of the proactive sailor. And so you can see kind of the connection. Mm-hmm. Some of the practices for parenting are the same. So as I wrote that course for the Navy, and I traveled for, I don't know, the better part of 10 or 12 years teaching it, we probably put about 12,000 sailors through the course in those 12 years. And most of them are unsaved, don't know the Lord. Some did, but most don't.
Mm-hmm.
And the hunger and the ache out there from them, coming from them to me, basically they were saying, we want somebody to teach us the difference between right and wrong.
Wow.
And so I know that the general population, the American culture, is aching for somebody to step up and say, you know what, let's talk about right and wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't define that for them. We would do that together as a group. But the hunger is certainly there.
Right.
I think we have a shortage of teachers these days is the issue.
Well, that's true. And I don't think there's hardly anyone in the U.S. who watches the nightly news or reads about what all is going on who can't think back even a decade ago about how different it was in the U.S. and how fast we've gone downhill. And, you know, seeing, again, like the sneaker riots, we see young ladies throwing their newborn babies out, basically, and such as that, kids killing kids, kids sexually molesting kids, because what you're saying is they don't know right from wrong, and
they
need to be taught that, which is a terrible testimony as far as how far we as a country have fallen.
We see so much of that around us, and we get bombarded with it through the media and through YouTube and other places, and we think everybody is like that. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is it's not, but the more we glorify that through the medium of television and the internet, the more you can expect to see that type of behavior. The Jersey Shore program and those other types of things just glorify debauchery and foolish behavior.
Right.
But what I'm finding is that there's a whole bunch of people, the vast majority, that are fed up with it. They say, you know what, enough is enough. But what they're looking for is, well, who's going to help teach into this thing? And that's what we do at Character Health. We come and we teach into this stuff in a real intensely practical way. It's not, you know, lecturing and wagging a finger.
Right.
So step-by-step process to say, you know, if you want to have a healthy character, here's what it's all about.
And as you've listed some of the causes for the lack of character, as you're talking to young people, to youth groups, so to say, to speak, or, you know, young people, or even these Navy sailors, did they talk about what had influenced them or how they came to believe what they believed, how their thoughts were molded by outside influences?
Well, one of the lessons we teach is we contrast proactivity and reactivity. And when we start that lesson, we talk about what sort of models we have in our lives for different behavior. And you gain those models through a bunch of different venues. Parents, for instance, model to young children good and right behavior, good or bad behavior. But the same thing is true of peers, teachers, our culture, the workplace. All of those different cultures will help shape our paradigms or our models. Out of that, now, you've got to take the right models, the ones that fit and work, and use those, and you've got to reject the ones that don't. So, for instance, the story I tell is when I was a kid growing up on the streets of Detroit, you earned respect with your fists. So you got into fights.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had taken that model into my adult life with me, and every time I felt somebody was disagreeing with me or didn't respect me the way I wanted them to, I hold off and hit them.
We'd be talking to you in prison.
Right.
Yeah.
And there are people that spend time in prison because of that. They took that old model that might have had an appropriate place as a 10-year-old on the streets of Detroit and they took it into their adult life with them, and they never rejected it as inappropriate. So we kind of talk through in the lectures how to do that,
mm-hmm.
how to put off the old and put on the new,
mm-hmm.
and
almost
people get
like
really
scripture.
Excited.
Yeah, almost sounds
it
like
is.
Scripture. Yeah.
That's right out of Ephesians 4.
Yeah, absolutely.
Paul talking about putting off and putting on. That
mm-hmm.
same principle applies whether you're a believer or a non-believer, but the Holy Spirit will give you the power to do it if you're a believer. So,
right.
again, you know, there's a lot to it, but it's really not all that complicated.
True, it's not. And as you go out and minister and make your presentations, are most of your groups Christian groups or are they secular groups?
The answer says yes. You know, I'm out in Minnesota right now, and I'm doing 4 talks in the next 4 days, and some are mixed groups,
mm-hmm.
Believers and non-believers. Then on Sunday, I'm in 2 different churches, so you would expect that most people there
yeah.
would be Christians. But I also get invited to go do corporate groups where, you know, they don't bring me in under the premise that, hey, here's a preacher that's
mm-hmm.
going to preach to us. They bring me in as a corporate ethics expert. I tell people right up front, hey, look, my background is as a pastor. And so I lean heavily on the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to talk about some of those things, like what does it mean to go the extra mile? You know, that came right out of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41, and it was Jesus himself who uttered that expression.
Right.
So people don't reject it. You know, this whole separation of church and state, most people don't buy into it and don't want it.
Wow,
they want to hear answers. Right?
Well, that's fantastic, because so much of the news brings the bad stuff, you know, where there are those who are rejected because of their Christian message. And so it's good that there are more who are accepting of the message, even though it's Christian, than there are those who reject it as far as corporations and such. So that's encouraging right there. You know, so let's say a given year. I mean, this is the beginning of a new year, but let's look at 2011. Did the majority of your talks take place in a church or in the secular world?
I'd say it was about 80-20. It was about 80% churches, about 20%
okay.
other venues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're hoping at some point that character health becomes an expression that people use, because
right.
we talk about physical health and well-being, we talk about emotional health and well-being, but nobody ever mentions character health or the health of your character.
Right.
And so my hope is, and we have curriculum for schools already
right.
developed, and so it would be wonderful to get into the public schools, and we do it in a non-offensive way. It's not going to be touting God or
mm-hmm.
Christianity necessarily,
mm-hmm.
but we see it as a
kind of
like pre-evangelism.
Right.
It's the same principles, but it's like a bridge, it's pre-evangelism. And so
mm-hmm.
the hope is over the next few years that we balance out. We're half, you know, doing churches and half
mm-hmm.
doing corporations, public schools, colleges,
right. Right.
and you name it.
So if you were in the area, say ministering at a church, then possibly that church could contact the local school district and see if they could also bring you in.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And right. And we find out that a lot of churches, there's people on the school boards that attend those
mm-hmm.
churches, and they're
right.
looking for an alternative.
Absolutely. Exactly. Because so much of this character education has no morality attached to it. You make your own decision as far as what is right and wrong. We see the moral relativism. So to have character education that would be grounded in the truth, what is, you know, that there is absolute truth, that would be so much better than some of this stuff that's being offered in schools that
Absolutely.
Has no moral grounding. And that in itself creates the problem of a lack of character. You know, they're
yep.
it's just they just because they don't get it as far as where character really comes from. I read a lot.
And
go ahead.
Well, what you find is historically, whenever you try to, and when I say try to, I mean the culture at large
mm-hmm.
or the government in our case tries
mm-hmm.
to eliminate God,
yeah.
they
mm-hmm.
might have some success for a short period of time. Back in 1963, when we got rid of prayer in the schools,
mm-hmm.
the backlash from that emptiness that was created
oh, yeah.
is people are hungering inside, and even young people are hungering inside for the difference between right and
mm-hmm.
wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They want to live a better life. They want their life to have a purpose, and in that, they're seeking God.
Absolutely.
So what we're doing at Character Health is trying to bridge that gap and help deliver them some of the answers.
Yeah, and I think a lot of teen suicides are linked to the feeling of hopelessness, where kids are encouraged, they are encouraged to engage in premarital sex. They are encouraged to engage in all sorts of, you know, bad stuff. And they're thinking, there's got to be more to life than this. But yet there's the media and there's the culture as a whole, and sometimes even in schools, who are encouraging this type of activity, and the kids just can't take it. And they
right.
see no way out except through suicide, which again,
yeah.
so much of this, it's the kids who are the losers in this
right.
this great experiment of teaching character education without teaching absolute truth.
Well, that's well said. That's well said. Yeah. You know, we got rid of the Ten Commandments in the schools because we thought they might cause psychological damage.
Yeah.
And what you end up having is, you know, children, teenagers, I was a teenager, you were a teenager at one point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very turbulent time of life. You're looking for answers.
Yeah.
And I remember as a kid getting that kind of hopeless feeling about the future. Well, if I hadn't been introduced to something bigger than myself, if I had thought that, you know, I just was a fluke of evolution,
right.
So I have no real purpose in being here, then that hopelessness sets in, and then the logical conclusion to that is, well, I'm just going to take my life because tomorrow's going to be worse.
But,
you know, getting plugged into something bigger than yourself, getting plugged into God, is vastly important for our overall well-being. But, you know, we got enlightened back in the 60s and decided we were going to get rid of all that stuff.
And now we're suffering the consequences.
Yeah, we are, absolutely.
It just appalls me as we see what's happening to our young people. And then that, in turn, goes up the ladder, because then you see the effects on marriage if they get married, and then the effects on the kids that they have. It's just a big chain reaction as to what happened in the 60s with removing God from the public school. Actually, the case said, you can't have the Ten Commandments. This was the Ten Commandments case. You can't have the Ten Commandments hanging on the wall in the school because children may read them and act upon it. Okay?
Right. I'd much rather have them read and act upon the Ten Commandments than some of the other stuff that the kids are exposed to in schools.
We've been talking about the need for character education, and we need, I think we all as a society and as communities and individuals need to do a character health checkup. Steve, I think the ministry there that you and your wife have is fantastic. And just tell us how the steps of churches or individuals need to go through to contact you about the various ministries and such.
Well, the easiest way to do it is to go to characterhealth.com. And then right on our homepage is the typical stuff you see on a homepage. There's a Contact Us tab. If you click on that, there's a toll-free number. People can call me directly. It rings my phone if they want to talk to me. Or if they want to go into the booking information, which is also available on the same page, they can send me a request saying, here's our event, here's what we're thinking about. And then somebody will contact them in return, and we can talk about the event, make sure it's, you know, we put something together that's excellent and worthy of our Savior. So those two ways are characterhealth.com, go to the Contact Us tab, and it's real, real easy to get a hold of me.
And do you... Usually, you mentioned something about, at least the way I interpreted what you said, you would be could be part of a larger event, or you would have the event in its entirety, or a combination of both.
Well, most events we do, it's either me or it's my wife and I doing either the parenting, marriage, the stuff. But, for instance, at the end of February, I'm going down and addressing the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention, about 3,000 pastors there. Wow. I am not the only speaker at that event. And so, you know, that's one where I'm in a cast of thousands. But, you know, it just depends on what the event is and what the church desires. But, you know, we will talk to everybody about anything.
About anything
sure.
that however they want to set up and stuff. So we're talking about you have character matters as far as with youth and marriage matters and parenting matters. So any of those or a combination of those are what your presentation would be about and the need for the character in all those areas.
Right. And there's two other things that we do. One's called Second Mile Leadership for Men. And, of course, that's a men's conference that I teach. And the other thing is my wife speaks extensively to women's groups, homeschooling groups. We homeschooled forever.
Yeah, with eight kids, you probably did, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do all that stuff.
Right? Uh-huh. Okay, okay. So your wife also leads women's groups. Sounds like a well-rounded, I mean, you're hitting all the bases as far as character development. And I don't think anyone, and as you've said, even those who don't claim Christ, recognize that something's wrong in society. And I started to mention a little bit ago that I read a lot out of the UK. I get the Daily Mail and such and read the newspaper. And I am appalled by what is happening in the UK, where you have youth basically running the place, and there are no consequences to the crimes they commit. And I'm appalled when they attack older people and, you know, set fire to their homes and kill them in some instances. It's just appalling to me.
Here's what's going on. And I explain it this way. When we teach any of our character development stuff, I call what you're describing the new virtue.
Mm.
And the new virtue these days is not whether you should or shouldn't do something, it's whether you can or can't.
Mm.
And so we have a whole culture, and really large parts of our world or Western culture, that are driven by the can and can't questions of life. Can you leave your 9-month-old at home in a crib unattended? Yes. Should you?
Mm.
No. Can you go in and burn down somebody's house just for the thrill of watching a fire?
Watching it burn. Yeah.
Yes, you can, but should you?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
So when, once we start to teach into the difference between can and can't and should and shouldn't, we talk about the basic motivators of life that are behind those. And that's really a very powerful lesson.
Young
and old alike grab a hold of that and go, you know what, you're right.
Yeah.
And you know what, we're looking at more and more people that just want an alternative to the can and can't world that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And should and shouldn't is what we should have been doing all along. And we knew better. And we just need somebody to stand up and say, hey, you know what, this is an alternative. Let's choose it. And we're going to have a better world. You're going to be a better person for it, and it's going to be a better culture as a result.
Absolutely. You know, as we see things happening and we see the media glorifying living together before marriage and glorify abortion and glorify all the bad stuff, we have a lot against us as far as having to fight the media and fighting the culture that's been produced because of that media. But it's encouraging to know that people are hungering for the truth and hungering for a way out of the dilemma that they find themselves in because they have no foundation to build their lives upon. So again, tell us how folks can contact you.
The easiest way to contact us is go to characterhealth.com. On the homepage, click on the Contact Us tab, and you'll get my toll-free number there. It's 877-577-2736, but it's easier just to go to the website and look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can click on the same Contact Us tab, and right there on that page it says booking information. If you click on that, it'll give you a form to fill out that comes straight to my device, and somebody will be in touch with you usually within 24 hours to talk about your next event.
Okay, fantastic. So there's several different ways that they can contact you, or the information that is there on the in your website pretty much explains it all. But I do encourage folks to go there to characterhealth.com. Also, go and watch Steve's video. I think there's a link to that 15-minute documentary from
right on the homepage of characterhealth.com. Right.
Yeah, and I encourage folks to go to characterhealth.com and check the ministry out, because we definitely need this type ministry that is Christian-based and that teaches there is a difference between right and wrong. And for our society to get back where it needs to be, we need to learn what that is. So I appreciate
you. And Diane, there's one more thing on the website that I'd like to mention.
Okay.
On the homepage, there is the Character Health Character Quality of the Day email, and it comes out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it has a parenting point that goes with it, and it's a really, really useful tool for parents to teach into values with their children, and it's absolutely free. Right on the homepage of characterhealth.com, just click on Character Health, Character Quality of the Day, and it'll start coming to you the next day.
Oh, okay, fantastic. Character Quality of the Day, okay.
Right.
So about three times a week you get that in the email?
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Okay, fantastic. So I encourage folks to do that too. And I know also on YouTube, it's probably actually on your website too, there were several short, like two and a half minute videos about character and such.
Right. So, we do videos on forgiveness, the generosity, about the consideration, you know, lots of different short videos for parents to watch and kids as well.
Yep. Fantastic. Well, again, characterhealth.com. And thank you, Steve, for your ministry, and stay safe out there.
Thank you, Diane. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. Take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323, or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.